those children as they go out and their teachers as they work with them in Children's Church next door. And thank you for being a praying church. It's so blessed to see God answer so many prayers and to see His life and His hand, His presence in our church body. Carol, we're just so blessed that God has answered that prayer for you and given you these good days. We've enjoyed you so much and want to see you continue in good health and to enjoy that time, these times of fellowship with you. And for Hannah, thank you for praying for Hannah. The conditions are very serious, and God is just doing wonderful things there. So it's such a beautiful thing to see God hear the prayers of His people and keep on, continue on. Pray for Alan and Steve this week. We're so thankful to have men in our church body that will obey the Great Commission, that will go into troubled places and troubled times with people that have such deep needs and share the compassion of Christ with those. And we want to love the things that God loves. And God loves those Sudanese people that have gone through so many hardships. So we want to be faithful to pray for them. There's going to be many obstacles and a lot of spiritual warfare around E3's ministry over there. So please pray that God breaks through with the light of, and the truth of the gospel. Pray for those things that we talked about that are so necessary and so needful. For us, pray that God supplies that door of opportunity for the gospel. And these are the things that the Apostle Paul asked that we would pray for in light of his work. And there are just some great principles. But he asked for that God would open a door of opportunity. So let's pray that God opens a door of opportunity for them, that they'll make that contact, that those doors will come open, and that those divine appointments will take place in this short period of time that they have there. Pray that they're able to make the gospel clear, because there's a lot of obstacles there, cultural obstacles, contextual obstacles, as they share the gospel with many Muslim people. Pray that they'll have words to open the mouth to make that clear, and then pray for boldness. They'll need boldness and physical strength. Pray that God keeps them healthy. There's many challenges there with changes in diet and different things that can hinder their work. And so we want to pray that they're given physical strength. And pray for unity with that team, because it's so the evil one loves to get in and cause disunity. But they need to exercise the gifts that God has given to them effectively and well for the spread of the gospel. And God will do those things through Alan and Steve as they offer themselves up and pour themselves out for the gospel. And thank you for Lyle, for E3 Ministries, and for the starting planting the churches that has taken place in Mexico. And we're just grateful, thankful that it's spreading into Africa and Moldova. They have plans to go back to Moldova in next fall. So be praying that we're faithful in the Great Commission and in the work. So we're very grateful for men that are willing to step out. We also want to pray for Pat and our two Pats, Pat Harrison, Pat Hager. Pat, as you know, is with Nat and Manolo and John and Catherine this week, and Pat Harris has her daughter here. We're glad to have you with us. I'm glad that you can be with Pat during this time. I know that helps. So anyway, let's let's look. We have communion service this morning. We have many things to praise God about and give thanks for, but we want to gather our hearts, our thoughts, our mind around the table and remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And what an appropriate song to that surrender of the will, surrender of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and reminder of the depth of His love for us and the sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary. Let's take a few moments and think about our Lord Jesus and the fact that He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay, and He paid that debt. And we worship Him this morning. We give thanks to God and want to give praise to Him for all of these things, for the answered prayers, but for that expression of the ultimate sacrifice when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died in our behalf. I want to take you to a passage, John chapter 1, verses beginning in verse 45. And this passage deals with the person Nathanael. I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, a little bit of ring, if I'm hearing correctly. Maybe it's in my head, but yeah, if we can do away with that, that would help. But the title for my word for you this morning is to sit under the fig tree. The theme that I would like to consider is this idea of the of Bethel. And Bethel means, Beit means house, and El means God. And I believe that we have to kind of speculate as to what Nathanael was actually meditating upon when he was seen, when he was called to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus. But it's an interesting story in Scripture out of John chapter 1. It begins with verse 45, and he evidently was under the fig tree, and there's a lot of symbolism in the Scripture about the fig tree. We want to think about that a little bit and think about this disciple, Nathanael, and who are the recognition of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, on that day when he was called to be a disciple. Look, beginning in verse 45 in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, I'll read, you follow along. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him who Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." And then Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. As we look at this very peculiar passage of Scripture, we're having in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the introduction of the Messiah to Israel. And so Jesus is being presented, and you will remember that John the Baptist recognized him as the Lamb of God, and the Apostle John describes him as the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, before creation was Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by the Word all things were created. The Scripture teaches there, and then it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So contextually, the Messiah is being identified as God, the second person of the Trinity that created all things and then came and took upon himself flesh and dwelt among us. And Nathaniel is being introduced to him in this passage. So the thing that I would like to look at this morning is this introduction to Nathaniel and all the kind of weird things that are going on there. You're going, well, why does he like burst forth and say, you are the Son of God and you are the King of Israel, and the significance of what that means? Because contextually, we're looking at a Jewish believer that is longing and looking for the Messiah to come, and he's meditating, evidently, on the promises that were given in the covenants in the Old Testament that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so I want to just draw some points of comparison with how Jesus addresses Nathanael and probably what he was most likely meditating on in the Old Testament that caused him to be so awe-stricken that Jesus recognized not only that he was sitting under this fig tree, but that he was meditating there on the scriptures, and actually, I believe, on the covenants that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what that meant, Jacob being Israel. And there's an identification even between an Israelite in whom there is no guile, and Jacob, who was known for his guile, and this incident in which he was fleeing from his brother Esau because he had, through guile, taken his inheritance. And so God met with him in a place that was called Luz, but he named now Bethel. And that brings us to Bethel, the house of God. Now, Nathanael's introduction to Jesus was a theologically pregnant statement about the Messiah. And that's the point that I want to make as we think about our Lord Jesus this morning and as we come around the table to a time of communion. It's about Messiah. It's about God's covenants with Israel. And it's about God's plan to dwell among men. Because we don't want to forget that the Word became flesh and tabernacled with us. That God's presence is here this morning because Jesus did do what he spoke about here. That there was this opening and that we saw the heavens, that Nathanael saw the heavens open and at the angels of God ascending and descending because God became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. So let's look at a couple of things here in regard to the theological significance. First of all, Nathanael was meditating and thinking about the land, and evidently he was under the fig tree. A lot of interesting things about the fig tree. The rabbinical writings says that disciples were to memorize and meditate scripture under the fig tree. And they were encouraged to go there not only to memorize scripture, but to meditate or think about scripture. And so it's very likely that that's exactly what Nathanael was doing and why Jesus referred to this fig tree. But that in itself is pregnant because the scripture, the Old Testament, has a lot to say, a number of places where it speaks about the fig tree and the significance of the fig tree to Israel. The promised land was to be a secure home and provision for God's people. And so what we find are these passages of scripture in the Old Testament where in the giving of the promised land, God offers and the prophets speak of the Israelites dwelling safely in the land with provision for them and for their families. Notice that here in 1 Kings 4:25, and you see on the screen there, it says, so Judah and Israel lived safely, every man under his vine and his fig tree from Dan even to Beersheba all the days of Solomon. Well, that was a fulfillment and that was part of the promise that was given through Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. As Jacob went and he was fleeing, God in a dream spoke to him, and notice that this is possessive. Notice these his vine, his fig tree. And it notice that it says, so Judah and Israel, every man, that they had this position, possession, and that was the promised land. That was the promise of God's provision for Jacob. And Nathanael was meditating upon these very things. Another passage that deals with that is Isaiah 36:16. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me to come out to me and eat each of his vine and of his fig tree and drink each of the waters of his own cistern. And so this was Rabshakeh speaking on behalf of Sennacherib, the Assyrian man. But notice that they promised, or that he promised, the things that were promised by God to Israel. And as you know from the story, there Sennacherib was defeated. God defeated Sennacherib in that place. Another passage is Micah 4:4. And Micah 4:4 says, each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So God's promised land was provision for the people, and it's possession for each of the tribes of Israel. And as you know, this Jacob that was there, and actually the passage is Genesis chapter 28, Jacob was fleeing from Esau, and he came to Luz as he was on his way to Haran to go and stay with his uncle to flee from Esau. And there God met with him in a dream, and he passed on the Abrahamic and Isaac covenants to Jacob at that time. And later, after God dealt with Jacob, his name became Israel, and from Israel, the 12 tribes. So Nathanael was the offspring looking at the covenants, the promises that had been given, and he was there meditating upon those, evidently under a fig tree. So that's my interpretation, and I'll stand with it. Okay? So then moving on, we look at this theme of Bethel, the house of God. And we find not only was there a promise of land and provision for the people, but there was promise of seed, an Israelite here with no guile. And to the promise that was made to Jacob, the promise that was given to Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the patriarchs, through the fathers, was that there would be seed. An Israelite, and the idea that the thought that Nathanael was looking at Jacob probably in his guile, and the recognition that in the land where that is the house of God, in the place where the presence of God is, that there needs to be something dealt with the heart of mankind, because if we're going to have relationship with God, if this house of God is going to be reality, then we need to surrender all. That we need to deal with the issue of sin and what's going on in the human heart. And I think probably Nathanael was thinking on these things, that it was needful for God to do a work. There was a need for honesty, for integrity, for purity of heart in living the Christian life, or living a godly life before God, in whose covenants had determined to dwell among men. To the extent that the sending of this seed of David, the Messiah, you know, going back to the first part of this chapter, that this word became flesh and dwelt among us, that he's the offspring of David, that he came of the tribe of Judah, and that this seed that was given through Abraham and this promise of a seed would be would be a blessing to all the world and would be would fulfill God's plan and God's design to bring people into relationship with Him, where the house of God is, where the presence of God is, and where people can enjoy the very presence of their God and Creator. This was God's plan. And so Jacob tricked Esau out of this covenant that God had made and this blessing. So Jacob had some really good things. I mean, he longed for that spiritual blessing and those blessings that came from God. The Abrahamic covenant was conferred then upon Jacob because and through his guile. And so I believe that Nathaniel was meditating here. Now, I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 13 because it kind of addresses these aspects of the promises of the covenant that God gave through Abraham and then through Isaac and now through Jacob. And so here in Genesis chapter 28, in his dream, God speaks basically and confers the covenant that was given to Abraham and the covenant that was given to Isaac. And you'll remember that as Jacob snuck in place of Esau, and Isaac laid his hands on Jacob, and he conferred that gospel. Now God is confirming that to Jacob here. And look what happens. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. So they'll sit under these fig trees and they'll have their own vines and they'll have their own cisterns. And I'm going to give this to you as I promised to Abraham. Okay, and then he goes on to say, your seed also will, right there. Your seed will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your descendants or in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So this blessing, this covenant, this promise was given to Jacob and to Nathaniel. And Nathaniel was meditating upon these things. And it goes on to say, behold, I am with you, present. God's present with him. And that was the cool thing that happened in his dream and in the giving of this covenant, in the transfer of this covenant from Abraham and Isaac and on through Jacob, who became Israel, is that God was letting him know, I'm going to be present with you. I'm going to do these things. And it was an unconditional covenant that was made. And will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised. Unconditional. God's going to do it. We look at it and we say, Jacob, man, he tricked his brother Esau. How worthy was this guy? Well, not worthy at all. I mean, that's God's grace and our salvation. And God's election and His choosing of His people is by grace and through faith. It's not by any works that we have done. And it's demonstrated in Old and New Testament, always by grace and through faith. And then we go on to look further. The blessing, the house of God, the gate of heaven was what description was. And so in Genesis 28:12, and he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending to it. As they ascended and descended, there was an opening, there was a way, and maybe we should use this passage for the gospel, that God has made a way. That it's God's intention to dwell with men, that there's an opening, that there's a pathway that could not be created by man. It couldn't be fabricated by mankind. It couldn't be dreamed up by the many different types of religion that mankind could dream up and think of, and many ways that he might try in some way to work himself to God. But God has supernaturally provided a way that in the house of God at Bethel, that there would be an opening where God and man dwell together And so the scripture goes on in Genesis 28:17, speaking of this blessing that's given, the blessing of God's presence. And Jacob was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God." That's why he names it Bethel. "And this is the gate of heaven." So he's talking about a bridge, a way. And what we're celebrating this morning is the blessing that was given through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that was given through the covenant that was made with David, that through his seed would come one who would rule, that one who would rule over the earth, that one who would fulfill the promises of Abraham that were given by God to Abraham, that he would dwell in the land and that his seed would be blessed, and that this presence of God would be known. We get to celebrate it today. That's why with depth of love for God, we should express praise to Him and thanks for His provision, because there's no way that we could have bridged that gap. Only that ladder that God provided through these covenants and through His promises was there to be a way where we can do what we're going to do this morning, where we can come and praise Jesus Christ and honor Him and bow our knee to Him and say, "My Lord and my God." This one that took upon Himself flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Genesis 28:19 declares, "And He called the name of that place Bethel." However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. So this blessing of the presence of God, He says, "I will be with you. I'm with you." And we can know God's presence. We can experience the joy together of fellowship, knowing God's presence and being here to worship Him and to give thanks to God and to give praise to Almighty God as God's people. This blessing has been given to us, and it was only given through Jesus Christ. As we look at the blessing in the house and this gate of heaven, 2 Samuel 7:12-14 has this to say. When your days, and this is the covenant that was made to David, and it was through David's seed that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, because the Virgin Mary bore the seed that was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and God Himself took upon the flesh of the tribe of Judah, of the offspring of David, that the dynasty and that His kingship and His rule would it be expressed through this person, this man, the man Christ Jesus. "When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him." He's speaking of Solomon here to David, but he's speaking in a prophetic way beyond Solomon to the Lord Jesus, who would come through the lineage of David, and that would reign upon his throne, upon the throne of David in the nation of Israel. So we often hear about pie in the sky for believers, but you need to understand that there's a fig tree. There's a real fig tree. That was the promise, that the land of promise, and that this offspring of David, this Lord Jesus, will reign on the throne of David on planet Earth in the nation of Israel, and that the people of Israel will enjoy the promises that were given to Abraham in a literal sense. So, and we as God's people, as the bride of Jesus Christ, look forward to the day when God's kingdom will come and His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It's on earth. It's not simply a heavenly throne at the right hand of the Father, but there's David's throne. And this Lord Jesus through Jesus, there's going to be a house built and there's going to be the throne of his kingdom. This expression of God's plan is not pie in the sky, it's planet earth. It's under the fig tree. It is there that we will know the fulfillment and the promises of God and his kingdom that is brought to earth through the reign and rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 2, verses 6 and 7 has this to say, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain, and I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. And he said to me, 'You are my son. Today have I begotten you.'" This Lord Jesus, this word that was with God and that was God, that created all things, that came and that was made flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld his glory and we celebrate his glory this morning. We celebrate the Lord Jesus, this one who is the Son of God, this one who is the King of Israel. John 1:49 says, Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Now tell me that's not connected. Tell me it's not. It's directly connected to the covenants and the promises that God gave. It's directly connecting Jesus Christ as being the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, of these truths and of the plan of God, that this Son of God would be the King of Israel. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. Truly I say unto you, you will see the heavens and the angels of God descending upon the Son of Man. And then, of course, John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We celebrated this morning. Men, would you come?